Hi, thanks for joining us today. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide. And today my guest on this podcast is Kenda Benward. Kenda is another Hollywood parent, the son of Luke Benward, who has many, many credits on his IMDb, but is perhaps best known for Ravenswood, How to Eat Fried Worms, Because of Winn-Dixie, Cloud Nine, and Minutemen. Kenda, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me.
Kenda, you're an actor and you're an acting coach yourself, which is essentially how Luke got started in the business. How did that happen?
Okay, let's see. How did Luke get started? Well, he got started actually by association. I had been acting at the time and he was just attending kindergarten. My agent knew that I had a young child at home, and there was a film that came through Nashville on its way to Fort Benning, Georgia. They stopped in Nashville to do a casting, and my agent asked if I would bring Luke along. And I kind of hesitated a little bit just because he didn't know how to read, and he really was not prepared to go into an audition. He had never done that before. She kind of pushed me a little bit, like, can you bring him? You know, do you think he can make it? And I said, you know what, let me pick him up from school. If he wants to go, I'll bring him, but I can't promise you anything. And so I did, and he decided he wanted to go. We drove down there, and we sat for an hour, and he really didn't know any of the lines before he walked in. So I just told him to go in there and do the Pledge of Allegiance and his citizenship pledge. And it was hilarious because all these kids around us were rehearsing all these lines. And I thought, it's a mute point for me to try to teach him this. He's not going to learn it. So he went in completely unprepared and just charmed the pants off of him. And 2 days later, they booked him and we were on our way to Fort Benning, Georgia. And that's how we got the part. That's how we got started. And then once we arrived in Georgia, he met a young girl, one of his castmates, Taylor Momsen, who you guys know from The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, and also she was in Gossip Girl. She's also a musician, very talented musician. She played his older sister in the cast, and his mom was gracious enough to give Luke a recommendation for her agent in Los Angeles, and then Luke started working in L.A., and that's how it all happened.
That's crazy. I love that story.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was.
Go ahead or go ahead.
No. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. So when kids get that kind of success right off the bat, if and when that happens, all of a sudden, you know, a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, we have to move to LA now, or we have to change our lives.
Yeah.
You didn't do that. Your family stayed and lived outside of Nashville until Luke started his senior year in high school. So he's like this very successful, steadily working actor from the age of 5 on until his last year of high school. Most people do end up relocating to LA, you know, to get that kind of steady quality work. How did you guys manage staying so far away?
You know what? I think part of it was ignorance. Part of it, we just didn't know what we were doing. You know, I was acting in Nashville, and that was working for me. I was raising a family, and Luke had done this movie, and then we went to L.A. that summer following the film, and he was sort of working with Mitchell Gossett at CSD, and Mitchell was willing to work with us from Nashville. And so we thought, perfect, our kids can go to school, they can be in their normal life, and we'll just come to LA for pilot season, or we'll come during the summer, or maybe during spring break. And instead of taking vacations, we'll make LA our vacation. And we did that. We did that for 12 years. We would come to LA for pilot seasons. We would stay with friends of ours that lived in Woodland Hills in a little rental house. I think at one time, there were 9 people, 2 dogs, a cat, a frog, a snake, a hamster, all living in this rental house in Woodland Hills. And I think 6 of us were actors. So it was insane. Wow. You can only imagine. But it was honestly just so amazing. And so that kind of quenched our thirst for coming to LA. We would come in little spurts. And that allowed us to live in Nashville and keep them surrounded by their friends they had grown up with, kept them grounded in their school and their church and their family members that live close by. And that just really is what worked for our family. Everyone has a different way of doing it. And so when we kind of sat down as a family unit and said, okay, what is this going to look like for us? That is what made sense to us at that time. And then 12 years later, we just kind of changed. The dynamic changed. And Luke had had a couple pilots that we thought were going to move forward, and they didn't. And we had kind of already made that move in our minds that we were ready to go to LA at that point. And so when that second pilot didn't go forward, we just said, let's go. Let's sell our house. Let's pack up U-Haul and let's just do it. Let's jump. And so we did. And the 12 years we were in Nashville, and that was just incredible because it just allowed him to be normal and play intramural sports and be in clubs and do all that kid stuff. And really acting at that point was an extracurricular activity for him. He just happened to be casting great projects. And we taped everything from Nashville. His agent was willing to work with us, which really was the factor that made it work. If you don't have an agent that's willing to work with you long distance, then it's not gonna work. Mitchell made that happen. He believed in Luke, and he thought, hey, if I can only work with him from Nashville, then that's what I'll do. And that's how we did it.
That's amazing. That is really unusual too, because I don't think there are a lot of agents who are willing to work with or represent young actors who don't live within striking distance of LA.
Initially. I think that agents will work with you initially to see if there's any traction. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To see if, like, okay, you can submit tapes. We'll see how they're received, and then if you don't really go anywhere with it, they kind of lose interest real fast. But
sure,
Luke was fortunate Luke was just fortunate that we were able to put together a really solid tape that casting directors actually looked at, and then he got callbacks off of those tapes.
You know,
taping is hugely important.
Taping is huge. We'll talk about taping for a second. You and I have great conversations about taping versus live auditions. And we Kendra and I, for those of you listening out there, got to know each other really well. We spent 2 months in the snow together, which I think would bond anybody. But it was so fun to spend time with you and talk about everything. And one of the many things we talked about was, you know, self-tapes versus live auditions. And I discovered that we came down on different sides of that. And Kenda is a big believer in self-tapes, in part because you are so good at them. And partly, I think, because you're an acting coach. You know, you bring that acting coach point of view to mastering the self-tape. So let's talk about self-tape. Any special advice for people? Because this is obviously a really important skill for any actor, but especially people who don't live in LA.
Yeah. Well, our industry has changed so much from when I started taping. I've been taping actors out of Nashville and here in LA also for 15 years. And when we started doing it, we were doing it on VHS tape. And then we were having to overnight it to LA, and it was like $40 a tape. It was insane. And Luke booked probably five major projects off of VHS tapes. Hilarious. It's crazy. Here I am, like, I'm dubbing one VHS tape to another VHS tape to make cuts. It was so rudimentary, I can't even tell you. But anyway, so it's so funny. But now everything's so sharp and digital, and it looks good, and you can get it there in seconds. And it's just, you have to be able to self-tape, and you have to be able to do it well. And the way to do that is, if you live in Los Angeles, of course, you can call me because I can tape you or in the surrounding area. But if you don't live in Los Angeles, then you need, let's say what?
And you should.
If you don't live in the Los Angeles area, then you need a pretty plain background, and you can use a backdrop or you can use a plain wall. And I prefer to tape indoors because you don't want the ambient sound that's outside. It's distracting. So tape inside. You want to have good lighting. So the light source should be behind the camera, like a window or a lighting setup, that sort of thing. You want to shoot from the chest up. Not leave too much room on the head because that looks really weird, but you also don't want to be too tight. So I'm sure there's things on YouTube you can look at to kind of, you know, get some more reference points. Let's see what else. Oh, this is probably the most important thing in my opinion, is you need to have a great reader. And for those of you who may not know what that is, when you're doing a scene on tape, you have the actor, they're the only thing that's on camera, is the person auditioning for the role. And then whoever is taping them is on the other side of the camera reading with them. And you can have the person taping them read, or you can have a separate person reading with them. But that person's really critical because you don't want them to be awkward. They need to be able to have an understanding of the scene, understanding of the character relationship, so that they're delivering the lines in a way that the actor can actually respond to in an appropriate way. So it's just really, really important. And then after you get this great tape together, you put it in your computer and you edit it with cool little fades, and you might do a little slate on the front end and put your contact information on the end part, on the end of it, and compress it and send it off to your agents or casting, whoever it is. But self-tapes are amazing. I love them. I love them because there's no pressure. You can get in there and you can make it perfect, and then you can send it. You don't have to have the nerves of going into a casting office and thinking, oh my gosh, I only got to do that one time. Or, oh, why did I say that like that? I should have done it like this. Really, if you're taping, you can do it 50 times if you want to and make it just how you want it to be. So I'm a true believer in self-tape. Not that I've ever done it 50 times. Well, maybe I have. But, I just like to get it right.
I love that. I love that. Well, it's kind of beautiful because there's a real democracy to it. You don't necessarily have to be, where you can drive into a casting office to be able to, turn in a killer audition and then get called for a callback and maybe get the role.
Yeah. Yeah. Not anymore. You don't have to live here anymore, which is really great for people that can't,
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about more of the sort of, self-tape acting coach thing. You've spent years doing this now. You've coached a lot of young actors, including the young Miley Cyrus.
Yes.
You have to, right?
Yes.
What, if you want to tell any stories around that, that's fine, or if you don't, that's fine. What advice do you have for young actors who are approaching an audition? How can they stand out? Because there's a lot of competition out there.
Yes. When I'm working with a student and I'm preparing them for an audition, and I know they have an audition, the very next day, or maybe it even is the same day, they might have it in 3 or 4 hours from when they work with me. If they don't come in completely comfortable with the material and prepared, I'm super nervous for them, because it's so critical that you know what you're doing when you walk in that office. Because if you don't, you're compromising the character with your own personality. And you're going to be putting your own personality in every character you play, but the writer wrote specific lines and words for a reason. And they don't want you to improv those lines and those words. They want you to know them, and they want you to have thought behind each line and intention behind each line. And if you come in to the casting or the coaching session and you're not prepared with your material, then you're just not going to do as well. And so my biggest advice to young actors, or any actors for that matter, is know your stuff. Know your stuff and be prepared, because I guarantee you there will be actors there that aren't prepared and they're going to embarrass themselves. So you want to know your stuff. And that doesn't mean, sometimes you'll get into a casting and they'll be like, okay, whenever you're ready. And you begin your monologue, or you begin the scene, and they go, wow, that was really great. So can we do it again? And this time, just go off book a little bit, and that means you can improv. You can throw in some of your own words. Now, if they say that to you, by all means, improv. Say whatever you want. But unless they say that to you, you better stick to the script. And that would be my biggest advice, is just be prepared and do your homework. you know, make those, write those objectives, write those thoughts next to your line, and really have a reason to say everything you're going to say. I think young actors, they get in this thing of, well, I have to act the line, or I have to, they get doing line readings, and it drives me crazy. And I say, why are you saying that? Why did you say that line just now? And they have no idea why they said it. I'm like, okay, well, let's go back and let's figure out why this character is saying that line to that character. Why would they say that to that character? And they're like, oh, I don't know why I would say that. Well, I would say that because I'm jealous of them and I want to hurt their feelings. Okay, now, great. So what's your intention connected to that? And now let's do the line again. And, you know, so once they're prepared, they're so much more connected, and then the audience can relax and give themselves to the moment because they're not going, oh my gosh, this actor has no idea what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. It's nerve-wracking for everybody in the room when it's clear that the actor's not prepared, I think.
Because you feel so embarrassed for them because they're stumbling and they're struggling and they're trying to catch their breath and they're sweating. But when you go in that room, oh, it's horrible. I've been there. Oh, believe me. I've gone to one audition maybe in my life where I wasn't prepared. And let me tell you, I never did that again. Because you just feel naked. You feel naked in front of everybody. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm exposed. Like, they're looking at me. They know I didn't prepare. It's horrible.
You know, well, and then it's like, you know, if you do that a few times in front of the same casting director, they're going to remember that and they may stop asking you to come in. So.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. They won't ask you. No way. No. I just think, you know,
they don't want to waste their time.
And, you know, casting directors love when you are bringing your authentic self to a character. They don't want to see you do exactly what the first person did that walked in the room. They don't want to see what you bring to it, what your life experience has contributed to, you know, the character and to the telling of the story that's trying to be told. So just connect yourself to the moment. And if you're connected to the moment, then your audience is going to be connected to the moment and you're going to bring them in and they're going to want to hear more from you. And if you're not connected, then the opposite is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I think so much of acting is about connection and listening.
It's everything. It's everything. Responding and listening. That's what acting is.
And I want to circle back. A few minutes ago, you talked about how, you know, your family, it was important to all of you to just stay in Nashville and it all felt right. And you'd check in with each other and you all felt, yeah, it's right to stay. And then one day, basically, you know, you were checking in and all of a sudden things had shifted for all of you. And when you said that, I actually got chills because I just thought, you know, that's amazing that the whole family could look at each other and reach a consensus and say, you know what, it's time to have a new adventure. Let's try this thing. Because so often one of the challenges that parents of young actors face when there's more than one child in the family, or even if there isn't, you know, that there's a parent, you know, other family around you, or, you know, lots of things keeping you in place. One of the big challenges is how to get everybody on board to support this. Juggling the needs of more than one kid is really, really challenging. And you know, we've known each other for a few years now, and your family seems to be especially successful at that. What are your thoughts about how to honor everybody's needs, including your own needs as a parent when a young actor's career can be so demanding?
Yeah, it is so demanding. It really, really is. And thank you for saying that. Thank you, Bonnie. We have definitely gone through our struggles and we've figured out a way to make it work for everyone. But when you have a child actor in the family, and some families have more than one, I can't even imagine that, which is crazy. But, and you know what I mean? They're going, oh, I can't imagine having more than one child actor. I don't know. I'm not the person you interview for that. I don't know. But I have no idea what you would do in that scenario. But, you know, as far as our family goes, it was hard. It was hard at first because when you have a child actor and they're successful, they're having some sort of success where they're working a lot, it's a lot of hours away from home, a lot of hours on set, and a lot of hours away from your other children for both that sibling and for the parent. And I remember specifically one situation. Luke was filming in Thibodaux, Louisiana. We had been there for 2 weeks. He was filming a movie called Because of Winn-Dixie, and it was a cast of, I think, 6 or 7 kids. Sophia Robb was in it. It was an amazing experience. And for the 2 weeks before the rest of our family joined us, it was just Luke and I on set. And so, of course, Luke bonded with the kids. I bonded with the parents. And 2 weeks into filming, my husband and my two other girls joined us on set. And, of course, they haven't seen us for 2 weeks, so they're super excited to come on set. And we're super excited for them to get there. But as you know, being on set with Dove, when you start a film, you bond with that cast and that crew really, mm-hmm. really quickly. Everyone becomes a family yeah. almost instantaneously. And within days, like, you guys are close. And so by the time my family got there, my girls were felt a little bit on the outside because Luke was so connected to these other kids. And Ella was too little, really. She was only 2 at the time. Gracie was 6. And I remember sitting in the Ramada Hotel, this horrible, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that, this older hotel in Thibodaux, Louisiana. And we were sitting there. And she began to cry. And she's like, "Mommy, Luke has all these new friends, and you guys are gone so long, and I just don't like him being an actor." It was hard. It was really, really hard. And I said, "You know what? I understand that. I do. I understand why you would feel that way. And Luke has made a lot of new friends. And the thing is that these friends, they want to meet you too. And they want to get to know you too." And she's like, "Yeah, but they like Luke better." And I go, "They don't like Luke better. They just spent 2 weeks with him and they're a family now." Right. So she cried through that for about 30 minutes or so. And then I said, "Gracie, are you proud of your brother that he's getting this opportunity?" And she shook her head, yes. And I said, "Do you think Luke's proud of you when he gets to go to your dance recital?" She shook her head, yes. And I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, each one of us in this family is going to have different interests and different callings on their life. Things that, you know, that we're supposed to do because that's what we were made to do. And you're a dancer and Luke's an actor. And so when Luke gets an opportunity to act, his family, the five of us together, we're going to come together around him and we're going to support him in that endeavor. And we're going to be all in. And if it's all about him for 2 months, then we're just going to make it all about that. And we're going to support and we're going to have fun and we're going to make the most of it. And then when that's over, we're going to go back home and you may have a dance camp or a dance recital or a dance competition a whole weekend. And we're going to go to that. And you know what? Luke's going to be right there with you too. And he's going to be supporting you in that because that's what your calling is. And so we're not going to say, oh, we're not going to do that because it takes too much away from this person. We're going to actually lift that person up and support them so that they know they feel enabled to move in whatever direction they're called in. And we're going to do that as a family." And she really understood that. Even in her little 6-year-old mind, she kind of gathered herself. Mm-hmm. And from that moment on, she was okay with it. And I'm telling you, Luke has sat through many dance competitions for many hours. He's traveled to Myrtle Beach. He's traveled to Las Vegas. I mean, we're talking, for anyone who's gone to a dance competition, they know that they are never ending. And my son has sat through many of them. He sat through volleyball games and softball games. And the list goes on and on and on and on. But as a family, you support each other. That's what families do. And I would never take this experience away from Luke because it's really just once in a lifetime that people get to do and make films. You know, the percentage is so low of people that actually get to do this that when the opportunity presents itself, you've got to take it. Gotta take it, you've got to make the most of it. And then as far as the second part of your question, how do you as a parent kind of keep your sanity?
Mm-hmm. That's a real thing.
And, you know, it's a real thing. And some days are easier than others, you know. I'm an actor, so being on set was amazing for me. I loved it. It was great. It was super fun. The fact that I got to travel with my son and mentor him in something that I just thoroughly enjoyed myself was, you know, was incredible for me. So, and then my husband too, I don't know. We just really enjoyed it. It just was never a burden to us. We just, whenever he booked something, it was like, all right, guys, a new adventure. Let's go. Let's see what this year is going to look like. It just was never a thing for us. I don't know. Probably because we're artists. You know, my husband's a singer-songwriter and a musician, and I'm an actor and an acting coach. So that's just kind of our life. We're not 9-to-5ers. And so we just kind of are kind of spontaneous like that, I guess.
I love that. I think that's actually been part of the secret to our sanity too, is I find that if I frame everything as an adventure, it's all of a sudden less scary. It's an adventure. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. It's okay. You don't know what's going to happen in an adventure. It's not scary. It's just part of the deal. And it's exciting, and it makes it more fun and kind of more festive. And you know, you
so
feel
fun.
Like you're part of a bigger story, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And I think for kids, I think young actors, when they get to travel and make films and go to different places, Vancouver. And look, I mean, by the time, you know, Luke was a teenager, he had traveled and worked in 6 different states. And it was just great. It was just a great education for him. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just, you, that's something you can't learn in school. So I just say,
no,
just
it's
be up for anything.
And
don't
getting
be, don't,
work. Getting a chance to work with some of the amazing things, some of the amazing people that you get a chance to work with as well is like this extraordinary learning opportunity, you know, educational opportunity. So, yeah, I think if you can stay present to that, that can really make it just sort of easier and less anxiety producing for everybody, including the parents.
Yeah, for sure. I completely agree with you.
You know, I love that, you know, so much of the secret to your success with keeping the balance in your family was making sure that every one of your kids got a chance to, you know, shine when it was their turn to shine. And I think that, you know, one of the dangers of having more than one kid in the family when only one is an actor is that kind of, it's kind of easy in this culture to say, well, you know, the acting thing is the important thing. That's the big thing. That's the exciting thing. It's like, no,
right.
It's all exciting. It's all big. It's all important, and you know, everybody in the family is important, and what you love and what you do is important, whether it's, you know, cheerleading or softball or acting.
That's right. I totally agree. Last year, it was so sweet. Gracie was in her senior year, and Luke was her escort for the homecoming court, and it was just sweet, and he doesn't even, like, I don't know, it's just... Luke has never taken himself too seriously. It's one of the things I love about him. He's probably one of the chillest people I've ever met in my entire life. You can attest to that.
Mm-hmm. I totally can. He's so gifted that way.
He's so chill. You're just like, you want to be here? He's like, yeah, I'm totally cool. You're like, okay, just checking, making sure your pulse is going. But he's just so relaxed all the time. And so he just doesn't take himself seriously. And He doesn't believe. I think one downfall for actors is when they start believing their own press. Mm-hmm. And my husband has always kind of drilled that into him. Don't believe your own press. Don't believe it. You know, because you can fall just as quickly as you got to the top. And so, like I had one of the administrators at my girl's school mentioned to me, last year, they said, gosh, we love how Luke always comes to the games and supports his sisters. And I was like, yeah, I mean, that's just kind of what we do. It's just what family does, right? And that needs to happen more. Like, we just need to support each other no matter what it is, whether we're interested in it or not, because we're family and because we're friends and we love each other, you know?
Well, he's a brother. He's being a good brother.
That's right. He's a brother. He's a brother. He doesn't have to be interested in cheerleading to support it.
Right. He can just show up, man, because that's what it's about. Well, Luke is 20 now, and, you know, he's one of these young actors who's really clearly making a successful transition from child actor, which he was. He was truly a child actor and then a teen actor, and now he's making that transition to young adult actor, and he's doing it with a lot of grace, and he continues to get great roles. This is a challenging transition for a lot of young actors. What advice do you have for young performers or their parents to help make that transition smoother and more successful, not just professionally, but personally too?
Well, you know, I know that everyone is looking for that success formula. Like, how do I, if I do A, B, C, and D, will that get me here? You know, and,
right.
You know, I've worked with hundreds of actors. I've worked with so many actors, and I can honestly tell you that just as each one of us is unique, so is each of our journeys. You know, I think the best advice I can give to someone personally is to be comfortable in your skin and in the stage of life you're in, and don't let acting completely define who you are, because you're so much more than that. Yeah, if you're an actor, then you can't not be that, because it's something you are passionate about. But there's also so many other things that you're probably interested in. And so learn about a lot of stuff, because actors are smart people. Actors know a lot about a lot of different things. And they need to, because when they're thrown into different characters, they need to be able to pull from those experiences. So in order to make that transition successfully, I think that you need to be maturely where you're supposed to be in your growth. Do you know what I'm saying? So if you're a teenager, be a teenager. Don't try to not be that. I always hear these teenagers that are like, you know, I wish I could do roles like this, or I wish I could do roles like that. Well, just do roles that you're branded for.
Mm-hmm.
If you play the young ingenue, play that. If you're kind of the nerdy kid, play that. If you're kind of the jock guy, play that and go for those kind of roles and give yourself to them. And then I lost my train of thought.
That's okay. Well, that's kind of the professional angle. What about the professional angle? I mean, because I find myself, if you're fortunate, you and your kids are close no matter what they do, but I find that the parents of kids who are professional actors, we're often extra close because we spend so much intensive time together, and that sort of graceful letting go that needs to happen as they step away and start to take charge of their own lives and careers, it's a little more, there's a little more to it than when your kid just goes off to college from high school in many cases.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of personal dynamic stuff to negotiate.
Yeah, that's really true. Luke moved out of our house about 6 months ago, and he was really, really ready to do that. And I was surprised at how ready I was to release him to be able to do that. I really was, because Luke and I have been partners in crime. You know, we've been like inseparable since he was 5 years old. And not only have I parented him, but I've been his coach and with him all the time. And so, gosh, it's been like this kind of new defining moment for both of us. Like, I have been moving into a different direction. Now I'm pursuing more of my acting more than I was mentoring him. And he's now moving into his adult acting life. And that has been, I wouldn't say it's been seamless, but I think if you just aren't afraid of it and you notice that is a natural progression, for a 20-year-old or 21-year-old to do, especially one that's not in college, and if you just let the natural progression take its course, then you know, then it's going to be okay. I guess there's no real formula for making the transition successful other than following your heart and listening to your gut, being, you know, making responsible choices. There's just, everyone's experience is different, and you just have to do what you feel like is right for you.
Which is brilliant advice for all kinds of parenting. For life in general.
Well, I don't know about that.
It's one of the many things I love about you. You have a very wise, heart-based approach to what you do. And, you know, I learned so much from you. I was so fortunate to, you know, spend so much time with you on Dove's first big project. And, you know, you were so generous with sharing your experience. And you know, I learned a lot sitting up there in the snow.
Well, vice versa. You're the world traveler. No. You're the one that's had all the adventures.
Well, this is a whole other kind of adventure, and we're deep into
that's
it
true.
Now. But you've made such a big difference to us as a family. Any final thoughts for young actors or parents of young actors that are just hoping to make a career in film and TV? Any particular things that you'd like to share about that?
You know, I don't want this to come out the wrong way. And I hope people can hear my heart in the way I'm saying it, because I had an acting coach say this to me once, and at first it kind of caught me off guard, and I thought, whoa, but then he was right. And then I really, really considered it. So it's okay. What he said basically was, if being an actor is what you feel like you were made to do, then do it. By all means, do it. If there's nothing else. However, if there is another profession you're interested in, or if there's something else that you want to pursue, just know that being an actor is not for the weary of heart. And I know that people know that, but I'm just going to reiterate it to them, because it's hard. It's hard. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when you leave your hometown and you come to LA, it's even harder. And it's expensive out here. So just, you have to believe in your abilities, regardless of the rejection that you will face as an actor. And if there's nothing else that you feel like you can do profession-wise, and if you decide that being an actor is your path, then own that. And when people ask you what you do, say, I'm an actor. I'm an actor. And be proud of that.
I love that. That's brilliant advice. Yeah, and just to underscore that, never say, I'm trying to be an actor. You're either an actor or you're not. Be an actor.
Yeah, I love it. Like, I don't want anyone to apologize for being an actor. It's a very noble profession.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard profession.
Mm-hmm.
And when you give yourself to it, and you know you're called to do it, and you're passionate about it, and you do it against all odds, that's something to be really, really proud of. I'm proud I'm an actor, and I'm proud that my son's an actor. And if there's a child out there, or there's a young person or an older person even, I mean, I'm no young chicken. I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I'm not that young. And
yes, you are young.
I'm proud. No, I'm not. Let's not fight. But I'm proud. I'm proud that I'm an actor. I am. And I'm not discouraged. I'm not discouraged by the nose. So don't be discouraged.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I personally find it completely moving. It completely moves me to tears, you know, to be in the presence of somebody who is so passionate about what they love that they are willing to just do what it takes and to go for it. And to the parents who are also willing to roll up their sleeves and do what it takes to help their kids pursue that dream. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, the parents out there those parents out there that are kind of on the fence, I'm thinking, gosh, do I help my child do this? Do I not help my child do this? I want to say to you, not every parent that is helping their child pursue acting is a crazy person. In fact, there's a lot of really wonderful parents right? There's a lot of really wonderful parents that are in Hollywood and that are in.
Yeah.
Say that again.
Some of the best, some of my favorite people in the world at this point.
Yeah, they're wonderful. And so don't be afraid of that. And if your child is obviously gifted towards the arts, then don't make them play soccer. Don't make them take gymnastics. Don't be afraid of the entertainment business just because it's something you don't know or you don't understand. Learn about it. You know, get the Hollywood Parents Guide. That is an unbelievable resource to you. It really is. Like, I read that book, Bonnie. Seriously, I read that book and I thought, oh my gosh, this is brilliant. I was kind of mad that I didn't do it, but then I was like super proud of you.
I love that. So, thank you.
Wonderful. It's so wonderful. And it really has. It answers pretty much every question that you could have if you're a parent wanting to get into, you know, the business of helping your child be an actor. That book will walk you through it. It'll answer so many questions. And I think I wrote this on my Facebook page, but like, you know, everyone wants a best friend that they can call and say, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to this audition or I have this question about agents or managers or whatever it is. And can you help me figure this out? And I'm like, you know what? This book is your new best friend. Look in this book.
Aww.
It has all the answers you need. Seriously, it is. It is. So there you go. That's how I feel about
Thank
it.
You.
Kanda has an exciting weekend workshop series in Nashville starting August 19 and running one weekend a month through November. I know it's going to be amazing. Check out the details at weekendworkshopseries.com. Thanks for listening to this free podcast. If you like what you heard here, subscribe and take a moment to leave a quick rating and review. A moment to leave a star rating makes a big difference on iTunes, and 2 minutes to leave a short review really, really helps. Do you want to know more about getting a young actor up and running in Hollywood? Buy my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, on Amazon. And if you need specific help getting your career or your child's career up and running or to the next level, you can get a one-on-one consultation with me over Skype or in person in LA. Go to my website, hollywoodparentsguide.com, and click on the consultation page. Thanks. See you next week.